Gospels to Romans chapter 5. This is going to get boring after a while, but I'm going to do it anyways. I want to say thanks for everybody being here and wanting to be here and staying up till 3 and getting up at 8 or maybe 9, whatever time you got up this morning. And this is neat for me personally because I was telling a lot of people last night, I feel like things like this are humongous crossroads in my life where I see people that I grew up with and people that I went to church with in college and people that I was friends with and went to camps with and grew up in the Lord with and then people I live with now. And it's just, this is a lot of fun and it's a real blessing to me. And I hope you enjoy that too. And I hope we all appreciate the opportunities God gives us to grow together, to stir one another up so that we'll hold fast to the confession of our hope and our faith. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 5 of Romans 5 to get us thinking about what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. We're going to focus in on for the next few minutes one of the phrases in this list that we're working through this weekend. And that's the second one here, if you want to think about it that way. In verse 3, we exult in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulations or our suffering produces endurance. Or your translation may say perseverance. Suffering produces endurance. When you go through bad things, it makes you someone different to where you can keep on going through more bad things. That's kind of the point of this text. Before we really get going here, by the way, I think it would be really good, especially since everybody's barely awake, and I know it's awkward because it's an auditorium and it feels like a regular church service and stuff, but I think it would be really good for all of you guys for learning, and it would help me for teaching if we have a dialogue here, so we're going to try to do that. So help me out. I won't make fun of you for making a dumb answer, and if anybody does make fun of you, I'll make fun of them publicly. So feel free to make a dumb answer, and you're not going to have to worry about it, okay? And all you people who like to make fun of people, watch out, so... Well, let's think first about just the concept of endurance. When you think about endurance, and I don't need a Webster's. If you want to give a Webster's, that's okay. Don't get on your Webster's app or anything, but if you just have one in your head, that's all right. But when you think about endurance, what sorts of pictures come to your mind? When you think about that, what does it mean to endure something? And I think if we figure out endurance, it'll help us think some about suffering here. But, I mean, I don't know. When you think about endurance, what sorts of pictures or events or experiences or other words come to mind whenever you think about endurance? A marathon. Okay, did somebody else say that? Okay, what were you saying? Oh, a marathon runner. Okay, yeah. So you said marathon. Just that itself is an endurance to have to think about. Yeah, good. Same thing, all right. Any non-runners have to endure anything? What else do you think about? Okay, good. Never give up. Good. Say what? Like pressing on. Okay, good. So you may think about even a Bible passage like Philippians 3. Paul says, I keep on going. I keep on pressing. I keep on pushing through the hard things that I face. All right, good. Other words or ideas or pictures that come to your mind when you think about endurance? Say what? School. Wow, school. That's a good one. Because it's hard. Yeah, that's exactly right. And like, how long is it hard? Is it short? Is 4 to 5 years a short period for anybody? I mean, you have a good perspective, I think. In the long scheme of things, that's right. How many of you guys are in college? I guess most everybody's in college probably here, so we're not going to do a show of hands. That's a dumb question. What am I thinking? So as you turn 26, you forget people are in college. Now, like, 4 or 5 years when you're in college seems like forever and ever and ever, right? And let's get real. Some of you are going to take, like, 6, 7. You know what I'm saying? That's how it's going to go for some of y'all. So it really is. You're going to really have to endure the end. All right, good. Other pictures or ideas about endurance? And that's pretty good. Unless somebody just has a killer one. endurance implies, and you pointed out, the reason you have to endure things is because things get hard. And I think that's, in some ways, that's a really, really simple, and so we're going to go simple thing here. Suffering in some ways is when anything is hard. It's a form of suffering. That's, you know, when things are easy, you're not, nobody's suffering down on the beaches in Jamaica right now, you know what I mean? Nobody's sitting there hanging out and be like, oh, the suffering of being here, you know? Nobody feels that way because it's easy. Life's easy. But people who are facing difficult circumstances in their family, people who have tough jobs, people who can't eat, people who are living Christian lives and are resisting temptation or are serving people who don't appreciate them, those things are hard. And what this text suggests is those hard things make you endure. And before we really get going here, I'm going to suggest to you that that is not true. It's a good way to start a Bible study, right? Start with a heretical statement. It's the best way to start. It's not true that suffering produces endurance. I want you to, so we're going to do a little activity here. I want you to talk to the person next to you on either side of you. That way nobody's left out. We don't need anybody sitting here feeling, well, falling asleep, really, in the morning, sitting by themselves. So I want you guys to talk. I want you to think of biblical examples of people who went through hard things and gave up. Biblical examples of people who went through hard things and gave up. There's a point to this, okay? I want you to talk to the person next to you. Try to come up with three or four, and I want you to take, like, 2 to 3 minutes to talk about this, and then we're going to share and try to list as many we can think of. There's a point to this, and we're going to try to understand what this phrase means. Suffering produces endurance. Does that make sense? So biblical examples of people who faced difficulty, faced suffering, but they did not endure. They gave up. All right, take about 2 to 3 minutes, talk to the person next to you. Try to come with a pretty good list, and then we'll share out and talk about it, okay? Okay. Hello. Back. Sorry. Good. Any others that you guys thought of in particular? Yeah, go ahead. And then you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Things got really hard for Job, and she gave up because she was watching somebody. And I guess it was hard for her, too, obviously. I'm not downplaying that. But yeah, good one. How so? In a big way. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sorry. That was my bad. Appreciate it. I'm kind of a not good preacher, obviously. I don't do this well now. I'm not good at that stuff. That's a great point, though, too, because sometimes spiritual things that God asks you can make you feel like you're hitting a wall. Seems like Cain kind of thought that, like, oh, I can't please God. God said, man, you can be accepted if you would just do the right thing. If you would endure and not let this get you off track, you could do the right thing. All right, tell me, what were these people missing? I mean, we could probably go on and on and on with other examples, but I mean, what are they missing? And maybe if you want to think about it this way, there were other people in their orbit that had something that helped them to endure, but some of these people didn't. For instance, Cain did not endure, but his brother Abel was there. What was it about Abel that made Abel continue with the Lord and endure through whatever difficulties he may have faced? And he faced a lot of difficulties living in a fallen world with parents who must have always been frustrated by living. I mean, we're all frustrated by the world we live in, but imagine being like knowing, man, we totally blew it, you know? Imagine what that household was like growing up, you know? And that's Abel's life, but Abel kept on going. He stuck with the Lord. Cain didn't. What did Abel have that Cain did not? It's faith. That's what it's all about. That's the thing that makes you endure. So here's the point, right? A minute ago I said suffering does not produce endurance. Suffering does produce endurance if our suffering is by faith. Notice the beginning of this text. This text is totally predicated on us being people of faith. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And in some ways, maybe peace with God is sort of indicative of all these blessings that are talked about in this text. You have this because of your faith. And then again in verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. If you don't have faith, your suffering is not going to produce endurance. It'll produce despair. It'll produce you giving up. It'll produce you being hateful toward other people. And think about all the people we talked about, all the different things. It'll make you greedy. It'll make you vengeful. It'll make you just plain selfish. It'll make you a whiner and a complainer about everything because your suffering will not produce anything good because you're not suffering by faith. You're not trusting in the Lord through that. The word faith is an interesting word, especially the Bible word for faith, because it can be translated a lot of different ways. I'm going to suggest there are three levels of faith that the Bible talks about. Sometimes we only think of one in particular whenever we talk about faith, but I think there's three levels of faith that we need to consider when it means that if our suffering and the difficulties we face are going to produce endurance, and we're not going to say all the good things that endurance produces. We'll see that more in the subsequent lessons. But endurance is a big deal. So if you don't think endurance is important, just go with the hypothesis that maybe it's important, and you'll see later why it is important, okay? We got to be able to suffer by faith if we want to get this endurance. So what does it mean? First off, faith means conviction. Conviction. It's the first thing that faith means. Hebrews 11:1 would talk about this. Faith is the conviction of things hoped for, right? So it's a thought, it's understanding, it's belief of facts. That's where faith starts, is with conviction, belief of facts. Second level is trust. And I may add to that active trust. So if you want to flip back a couple pages in the book of Romans to chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 5, this is where Paul's summarizing why he was living his life, really. And in verse 5, he says, speaking of Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. Check out the end of Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 26. Verse 25 is where we'll start. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God has been made known to all nations. Why is God making this gospel known? Why did the prophets do their thing? Why did God make all this effort to make people know stuff about Jesus? Well, leading to the obedience of faith. So the second level of faith is not just that you know some stuff in your head. So another verse, if you want to think about the conviction side, is where it says, I believe in the gospel, right? That's kind of the idea of Romans 1, 16 and 17. It's the power of God for all those who believe, who understand it, who are convicted by it. But it doesn't just stop there. It has to lead to trust. It has to lead to activity, the obedience of faith, right? And there's a third level that I think is maybe one that we really forget about all the time. And that is faithfulness, or let's just use a different word to make it a little cleaner, loyalty. When you think about the word faith, it means you got to be loyal. Matter of fact, we even do that in our own language, you know? Like if somebody says, that man was not faithful to his wife, what do we mean? He didn't stick with her. That's a great way to say it. He didn't stick with her. He wasn't faithful to her. He didn't endure with her. He didn't keep on going. And a lot of people think that really that's probably one of the biggest ways that the word faith is meant to be translated throughout the New Testament and how it should be understood is the idea of being loyal to God. The only way the difficulties you face in your life is going to produce endurance so that you can keep on going and being the person God wants you to be is if you're loyal to God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you a passage that I think talks about this. If we want our suffering to mean anything, if we want the difficulties that we face to mean anything, and if we want to get through future difficulties, because that's what endurance is, something you have to build up to. It's also something that carries you through. So you need this thing. It's a big deal. But in order to have that, you're going to have faith in God. Conviction, actively submitting yourself to Him, faithfully, loyally, every day serving Him and being the person that He wants you to be. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Context here, the Hebrew Christians were not enduring. They were giving up. Things were getting really tough. All their friends were saying, man, you guys are so weird. Why do you do the stuff that you do? You're strange. You're not like the rest of us. You're not who you used to be. You've changed so much. And you say you believe in this Jesus guy, but why should we believe in him? And they were getting discouraged, and they were facing suffering. People, they were facing social consequences, economic consequences, all kinds of different problems because of their faith. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10 and verse 36, you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet, in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. In this instance, I think it's fairly clear that the kind of faith we're talking about is that idea of being loyal, sticking with God no matter what's going on. I think you see that even in verse 38. My righteous one shall live by faith. Well, what do you mean? Well, let's think about the opposite. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It doesn't say if he stops believing I exist, then my soul has no pleasure in him. That's true, but that's not the concern here. And it's not if he, you know, doesn't obey me once, then that would be bad too, but that's not. He says if he shrinks back. If you give up, if you stop going forward and you start backing up, if you stop enduring, the problem is your lack of faith. It's your lack of faith. So I want you to think for just a second. Don't say it out loud. Don't say it to anybody else. But I want you to think about ways that you don't endure in your day-to-day life. At work, you get asked about something. You know, if you tell the truth, it can make you look bad. But if you told a little lie, it's actually not going to hurt anybody, and it'll really help you. What do you do? There's somebody that you know who's lost, that you see every single day. You know they're not a Christian. You know they don't know the gospel. You're close enough to them. You could say something. You could start talking just about God and about his things. But you know if you do, it could really impact your relationship in an awkward and negative way. What do you do? It's late at night. You've had a really long, hard day. You've been by yourself. You are by yourself. You know you could turn your computer on and get a nice release from all the pressures of the day. Look at stuff that you know you shouldn't. But nobody would know. It's not that big of a deal anyways. What do you do? And you fill in the blank with your thing, right? I'm just listing stuff. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us, we shrink back. We don't endure. We don't push through that suffering. And our problem is we're not willing to live by faith. That's our problem. And that's why the Hebrew writer says in chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, listen, if you don't have faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot, I mean, you can try to please God without faith. You can try to get through your suffering without faith, but it's not going to work. It's just not. You've got to learn to trust in God. You've got to learn to be convicted. And by the way, if you're here today and you don't even believe that God exists, talk to somebody about that. Don't sit there and act like you do. Even if you've gone to church your whole life, don't fake that. That's not something to fake or to try to keep your reputation up. Talk to somebody. And if you're struggling with obeying God in certain instances, talk to somebody. Get help. Because we don't want to shrink back to destruction. We want to push through our suffering by faith so that we will endure, so that we won't be beaten back. What's the nature of a faith that endures through difficulty? We're not going to read all of Hebrews 11 because that would just be killer and just painful to try to rush through all of it. But I do want to highlight a few stories, some of which you guys probably talked about or pointed out, either the good guys or the bad guys earlier. But I want us to think about some different concepts that we've got to accept if we're going to be people who gain endurance through suffering by faith, right? Because that's what this is about, gaining endurance through suffering by faith. The first couple of examples here are people that are listed in Hebrews 11. Verse 4, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him. Verse 7, Noah was warned by God to build an ark. And Noah did that. He reverently prepared the ark and preserved he and his household. So here's point I'm going to make about faith that will preserve us, faith that will give us the endurance we need through our suffering, is it's going to be lonely. It's going to be lonely. I don't know how many other people were walking around. We don't know a lot of things about that time. All I know is that Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were there, right? So Adam and Eve are kind of like whatever they're doing. I don't know how they were after the fall, but we know how Cain was. How many of you guys liked to be really different from your siblings? Now, I know, like, back in the day, you always like to fight with your sibling and all that. I'm not talking necessarily about that. But, I mean, once you grow up, do you like to be butting heads with your siblings? No? You sure? Is that true? It's true. Okay. You know he beat you up. Yeah. We don't like that stuff, right? And it's even worse whenever you're being, like, the goody-two-shoes. And you're getting kind of looked down upon for that, right? That's what Abel did. And it led to his death, by the way, because he was kind of sticking out from the crowd. Have you guys ever read Genesis 5? Is anybody doing a, like, year through the Bible thing? Anybody? Any chapters that you were not totally stoked about whenever you came up on them? I think Genesis 5 is the first one where you're like, oh, this thing, names, you know? And then you're like, you do like the silent reading, which really means you look at the page and then you flip. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you did. So you should read that. That's a great chapter because it shows you the condition of humanity. Every single person, there's something that, there's like a, it's almost like a little song throughout the chapter. Anybody know what's the thing that happens to everybody? They died. Every person, they were born, they lived, they had some babies, and they died. Born, live, baby, die. Born, live, baby, die. That's everybody. And then you get to this dude named Enoch. What was special about Enoch? He walked with God, which implies what about everybody else? They didn't. You guys ever, so some of you guys, I'm sure, have gone to an away game for the football team, right? And did you dress in Ole Miss stuff whenever you went? Stupid question, I know. Except for the one Ole Miss fan who's here. I don't know. Sorry, no offense. How does that feel, though? I mean, like, whenever you're the only one, and maybe it's better if you've gone to, like, Baton Rouge or something. I think Ole Miss, they're kind of nice there. But if you go to Baton Rouge or something, how does that feel to be there with however many thousands, and you're the only one not like that? So it's hostile, yeah. But imagine the world that Enoch lived in, right? He's walking with the Lord, and everybody else is not. He's in a hostile environment. Even more so, you see Noah. And you guys also saw the movie, so you know exactly what that was like back then. And so that was rough back then, you know what I'm saying? That was rough. But I mean, seriously, right? Everybody's, the intentions of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. I don't know how more detailed the Spirit could have gotten about how bad people were. But Noah found favor with God because he was righteous. He was the only one. I mean, the only one. Have you ever gotten singled out before? No. But you are right now. Yeah. How does it feel?
You're surrounded.
Yeah, kind of awkward too, right? Whenever somebody just, yeah, okay, good, thanks for that. So that's how it feels. Nobody likes that, right? We became friends last night, so it's okay. Nobody likes that. And yet, you know what? The only way you're going to be able to endure is if you're willing to be alone, to be alone in your godliness, having your life directed towards God while the rest of the world is doing their own thing. That's what Abel did. That's what Enoch did. That's what Noah had to do. And that's what we're going to have to do. If we want our suffering and the difficulties we face to mean something, if we want that suffering to produce endurance, we've got to live by faith, which means sometimes you're going to have to be alone in your walk with the Lord. And I know, you know, we're like thankful to God for times like this when we're not alone, but this is not reality all the time. Because at some point you're going to get a job that's going to take you somewhere far away. And you're going to be in a small church, and it's not going to be all that encouraging. And you're going to have to figure out, how much do I trust God? Am I going to let this situation tell me, you know what, I don't have a good church family. So it's okay for me to kind of like slack off my service to God. It's okay for me to slack off my evangelism or my passion for the Lord's word or whatever it is. It's okay because it's difficult now. Or are you going to have faith in God that will preserve your soul, that will produce endurance even through your suffering? It's going to get lonely. And we got to figure out, are we willing to trust the God through that loneliness? Second thing, verses 8 through 10 talk about Abraham. When he was called, he obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. It's not super, super fun to go without knowing where you're going, right? How many of you ever get in the car and your GPS doesn't work instantly and you just like sit there? I don't know where to go, you know? And you don't even know what to do now, you know? You start freaking out because your GPS isn't working. Abraham, he didn't have a map. He didn't even have a name of a place he was going. Have you ever thought about how that conversation was, by the way, whenever Abraham came home, you know? The Lord talks to him, and then Abraham comes home. He's like, Sarah, I think we need to move. She's like, okay, where? I don't know. Okay, honey, we got to like figure this thing out, you know? But what we see in Abraham is he really, really trusted God. But then also, not only did he not where it would go, but what does the text say? Where was he going to live? I think I heard somebody whisper it. Oh, tents. Yeah, tents. Has anybody gone camping recently or ever in your life? No campers? Okay, has anybody had like a bad, like tell me like a very brief bad camping experience. Bad thing about camping. What's a bad thing about camping? Bears is a bad thing. Do we have bears here? I don't think we have bears. But anyway, that's true, I guess. What else is bad about camping sometimes? Do what? Yeah, like whatever the weather is, that's your life, you know? Like if it's raining, if it's hot, whatever, that's how it is, yeah. Anything else? Yeah, that's right. So it's hard to even find a spot where to put your thing because if you end up tipped and then it's raining, then it's just bad. So you learn by experience, I guess. Now, I know Abraham didn't have like a, you know, whatever, Walmart, land trail, tent or whatever. It was a little bit different. But he left a home. He left a place that many historians believe, you know, had indoor plumbing and heating and air on some level, not exactly like ours, but I mean, it was a nice place. It was a nice place. And he said, all right, see you later. I'm going to go live in a tent. Here's the point about our faith. If we're going to have the kind of faith that will allow our suffering to produce endurance, we're going to have to be willing to go through some discomfort. We're going to have to go through some discomfort. Abraham was willing to leave the place he knew, not knowing exactly where that would take him. And along the way, he went through a lot of discomfort. So let's think about a specific application. If I asked you how well you're doing with sharing the gospel with people, my guess is a lot of us would do like, I could do better. That's like a classic Christian line. You know, it's not admitting that you've done anything wrong, but it's also not bragging. You know, it's kind of saying nothing, but I could do better. Which really means I don't think I've ever really shared the gospel with much of anybody, at least not recently. For a lot of us, that's true. I don't know, maybe all of you guys are doing awesome at this. That would be great. And y'all can just ignore the next few minutes and you can, you know, think this is for me, right? Whenever we don't share the gospel, what are some of the reasons why? You know, for those people who don't share the gospel, what are their reasons why? Scared? All right, good. What else? How so? He said not willing to suffer, by the way. Yeah. Good. So you're going to be rejected because people are going to think you're weird and stuff like that? Do you ever tell somebody something, just in general, don't be spiritual for a second, but just in general, you tell somebody something that you're really stoked about, but it's kind of a weird thing? What does that conversation feel like at that point whenever they don't share your interest? Yes. And what do you want to do? Yeah, let me get out of here because this is a situation. Now, are you in like the danger of death in that moment because of this thing that happened because you shared the gospel with somebody and they didn't love it, you love it, and so now there's this weird situation? Are you in danger of death at that point?
Only in the Middle East.
Okay, only some places there anyways, right? So, I mean, like, here's the point. You ain't going to die, especially not in Auburn, Alabama, from sharing the gospel with somebody. But we say things like this sometimes. People, something will happen, like a situation I described that's a little bit awkward, and people say, oh, I feel like I could die. What we really mean is, man, this is uncomfortable. We're such wimps, you know? We're like, man, this is uncomfortable. Abraham is there bearing witness to us. He's saying, hey, stop caring about discomfort. Give your life to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Go through that suffering by faith so that it'll produce for you some endurance. You need some endurance to get through uncomfortable things. We got to be willing to go through discomfort like Abraham was. If we're going to be people that our suffering produces endurance, the life that we live for the Lord actually means something, we're going to have to learn to go through some uncomfortable situations. You got to press yourself to do it. And that means you're going to have to push through some things that you're not going to want to do, some conversations you don't want to have, some relational conflict and awkwardness that you don't really want. But we've got to do that. If we care at all about the Lord, we got to do that. All right, so it's a lonely thing. This kind of faith that allows our suffering to produce endurance is going to be a lonely thing. It's going to be uncomfortable. If you look down in verse 17, we're jumping down a little bit in the text. We have another Abraham story. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten. And Isaac, your descendants shall be called, God had said. And he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he received him back as a type. Abraham takes his only son. And God, whenever God talks to him in Genesis 22, God makes sure he remembers that. He says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. It's like, just in case you doubted how difficult this would be, I'm going to make sure to remind you how difficult it's going to be. There's another example of faith like this, a little bit down in verse 23. Verse 24 beginning. Moses is talked about. Moses grew up. And again, if you saw the movie, you know all the details to this, so you don't have to worry about reading the Bible or anything like that. But Moses grew up in the palace with Pharaoh. Everything was nice and beautiful, and everything was perfect and all that stuff. But then he said, you know what? I'm going to leave. Which was not exactly how the movie depicted, but anyways, whatever. He decides to leave because, look at the text, look at the reason it says it in verse 25. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You know, I think Abraham offering up Isaac and the story of Moses leaving Egypt shows the third principle about the type of faith we're going to have, the type of life we're going to have to live if we're going to have faith that allows our suffering to produce endurance. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. We do not live in a very sacrificey kind of world. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if there ever has been a world where people enjoyed sacrificing. But our world, I mean, we are defined by how much you get, right? So sacrifice is dumb. And I'll tell you, you know, Christians will even kind of tell you, oh, you don't have to do that. Man, I'm sure glad none of the angels on Jesus' way out of heaven, they talked about like, hey, you don't have to do this. Of course he didn't have to do it. We don't have to do it. But if we want to endure, if we want our suffering to mean anything, if we want to walk by faith, we do have to do it. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. That means that pet sin that you keep on keeping and keeping it a secret and just doing whenever nobody knows about it, you got to give that up. You're going to have to cut your eye out and chop your hand off if you want to endure. If you want your life to mean anything at all, you're going to have to be willing to do that. some of those relationships that you know you're not actually serving anybody, those are going to have to change. That may not mean you never talk to the person again, but it means now you're going to have to sacrifice just, we're going to have a good old time and just hang out and everything's cool. And you're going to actually have to talk to them about real stuff and try to help them get closer to the Lord and sacrifice their view of you so that God will view them better if they receive the truth. You got to sacrifice your money. And I know like somebody like, I don't have any money. What are you talking about, man? I mean, you got some money. You're dressed. You drove here. I think most of you live in homes somewhere, you know. You all look like you've been eating, you know what I'm saying? We got to be willing to sacrifice for those who are in need around us, for the work of the church, for, you know, people, needy saints, for people that we just meet on a day-to-day basis that somehow need something. We got to be willing to sacrifice our friendship, if that makes sense. I don't mean stop being a friend. What I mean is be more of a friend to more people. A lot of us are like, okay, I got like my peeps and then I got everybody else. Does that happen in the church, by the way? Do you have like your little crowd and then all the rest of y'all and we're just going to be happy over here? You need to open your eyes up and stop caring so much about yourself. If you want to endure, if you want your life to mean something, if you want the difficulties you face to actually produce something, you need to live by faith in the Lord who gave himself for you, for your sakes, and you need to give yourself for other people's sakes if you want to endure by faith. It's going to take sacrifice. And that's what Abraham shows us. And Abraham and Moses, we say, oh, it's so hard. I don't know if I can survive if I do that. Abraham and Moses say, that's the only way you survive. We think if I give up too much, then my life's going to be over. Abraham and Moses say to us, no, your life would only just be beginning if you will give up the things of this world and the things that you hold most dear in your heart. We're going to have to be willing to be lonely. We're going to have to be people who get uncomfortable sometimes. We're going to have to be willing to make big sacrifices for the Lord. We're not going to read the rest of this section, but a lot of you guys know, starting in verse 32, he just lists off bunches of people. And I love the stuff that he says people did by faith. Like, for instance, quench the power of fire. Isn't that like one of the most epic? I feel like that should be a band name or something. Quench the power of fire. I mean, that is just such a tremendous thought that that's what people did by faith. But well, you know what that means? If they quenched the power of fire, that means they went into the fire. That's exactly what they did. They didn't say, oh man, fire, that's hot. It looks like the guards are getting burned down. You know what? Never mind, Nebuchadnezzar. We'll bow down. It's okay. They didn't do that. They didn't care. You look at some of the other things that people did. They shut the mouths of lions, verse 33, probably a reference to Daniel. Escaping the edge of the sword means that you went into battle for the Lord. And people like David, this little kid who nobody believed could do it, he was willing to get out there against the champion of, as far as he was concerned, the champion of the world. Here's the point about faith. You have to be willing to take some risks. You have to be willing to take some risks. And in some ways, maybe that's the summary for all these other things. Being lonely is a risk because you may end up, nobody comes to your rescue. You know, Abel and Enoch and Noah, they all believed God was going to end up with them if they were willing to step out from the pack. But that was a risk. Abraham stepped out and he took his wife and his family with him on that journey, but that was a risk. Where are we going? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. And there were times whenever the risk seemed too high. The cost seemed too high. And this is too uncomfortable. I think I got to fix this somehow. And you remember Moses and all these. The point is, you're going to have to be willing to take some risks in your faith. You're going to have to be willing to trust in the Lord. Entrust yourself to the Lord. Just like our Lord did for us. We have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And by the way, I don't think that means they're like watching us like, I hope you guys do a good job down there. I don't think that's what it means. I think it means each one of them is coming on the witness stand saying, you can do this. You can have the faith that will make your suffering mean something, that will allow you to gain the endurance that you need. And since we have this great cloud of witnesses, people telling us you can do this and you should do this, we got to lay aside all the stuff that slows us down, all the weights of the world, the stuff that you think is so important that really it's holding you back from really serving the Lord, all the sins that you think you just can't let go of them. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. And it is a race. You guys nailed it at the beginning. That's what this thing is. It's a race, and it's not going to be easy. And that's part of why we have each other, and even more so, that's why we have the Lord. And so we fix our eyes on him. Because he's the one that pioneered our faith. He's the one that leads the way, who we set our eyes on and we follow and we go with him wherever he goes. And he's the one who perfects it, because none of us have got it. And I know, like, you know, I'm like hammering on these things, and everybody's like, man, I'm not going to endure it because I can't do that stuff. That's how I feel most days too. But then I remember all the promises the Lord made. And I remember all the patience he had with people. Whenever I read their stories, they look like idiots, but they look like this idiot, you know? And somehow he got it figured out with them, so I think he can get it figured out with this one too. But if we keep following him, he will perfect our faith. If we keep trusting him. He endured the cross. And he despised the shame, all the difficulty and pain and bad things that happened. He despised those things because of the joy that was set before him. And now he sits at the right hand of God, calling all of us to himself, to join him on the throne. If we endure, if we persevere, if we overcome, then he promises that we'll be with him. So consider him who endured such hostility against himself by sinners and from a sinful world, so that you don't grow weary or lose heart, so that you'll be a person that through faith suffers and gains endurance, so your life will mean something. All right, thanks.